So this week, we're just going to step in and take a little bit of a look at the situation as a whole, effectively at the halfway point of the journey, in action on a short turnaround. So a bit of a short turnaround for us as well, but hopefully some listening perhaps on the way into to Marvel or getting yourself prepped for tonight's action. We are 2 out of 3 recording during the day, which is a little bit different, but juggling all the balls that are in the air at present. And Nick, nice to have you back. Obviously, you've had a little bit on your plate, but we're obviously gearing up for a quick turnaround and another top four litmus test.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's been a while since I put the headphones back on. Two sick boys and a house that's been a bit chaos. It is interesting for us recording during the day. It's not something we've done much of in the past, but given a few things, made sense to try and get one out this week before tonight's game, and hopefully we can answer a few questions that the listeners might have been thinking about, talking about amongst themselves, etc., just around the state of the footy club and where we're at in general.
I get the impression, just briefly touching on last week, like it's only to the eye as having watched us for a long time, I can see that we are actually better or improved in a number of key areas. There's obviously just some things that aren't, you know, they're not quick fixes or they take a bit of time. Now, I know we had a few out on the weekend, but Fremantle, you know, they're in the midst of a club record winning streak of 10. One thing that's been typical all through that run for them has been barnstorming last quarters. They overran us last year. They overran Hawthorn last year and this year. The Bulldogs at Marvel, various other games during the year, they're really hitting the line hard. And it was probably a case that I thought, given they had a couple out, but we had more out and more structurally in terms of Nass and Higgins. And I would argue that if you picked our best 22, our first four forwards that you would pick didn't play in terms of King, Higgins, Ryan and Owens. So I think we hung in there quite well. We competed really well. It's just in the last quarter, obviously them being a top four side, they raised the bar. They're a top four side. We're not at that level yet. They produced a burst that we weren't capable of, and I think that's where we're at. But I think certainly we're better and we're closing the gap and we're not that far away. I mean, the amount of times they had options to go long to an Amos or a Treacy or a Voss, and we just didn't have those outs, particularly with Caminiti going back to cover Dougal Howard when he did the calf. So of all of our losses, I know people look at, say, the Brisbane last quarter and falling short against the Crows. I actually thought this one, as much as losses are disappointing, I thought we had a dip. We were a little bit undermanned. We played a side that's at this point in time a level above us, but not that far above us. So I don't know how you assessed it.
I agree pretty much wholeheartedly with all of that. I actually think, I mean, the Dockers are just about the flag favourites, right? They're, like you said, 10 in a row, which they've never done before in their history. Playing great footy. They've got all the pieces that flag winning teams put together. The one thing that you mentioned there was their kind of forward setup. They've got two legitimate key forwards and then a half a one in Paddy Voss as that kind of third marking forward, which we just don't have. You know, we don't have a legitimate key forward at all, really, at the moment. We've had, we know the issues that we've had with Max King. We know Rowan Marshall's not a legit forward. He's a ruckman playing forward. You know, we lost Membry a couple of years ago, obviously. Even he was a mid-sized forward and not a legitimate key forward. And so we are kind of down in that department. Mitch Owens, we've played as a key forward, and we know that he's mid-sized and not a traditional key forward. Cooper Sharman, likewise, much better suited to being a second or third forward and not your out-of-the-square, big-bodied, powerful, full-forward, traditional-type player. And I thought that was essentially the difference. Like you said, they did put the foot down a little bit in the last quarter, but I thought we were still running hard and competing pretty hard even at that stage. But when those teams that are the level above, and let's be honest, the likes of Brisbane and Frio are probably more than just a level above. They're probably two or three levels above us at the moment. But there is clear improvement and development in this list, in the way we play, in our game plan, in our execution. In so many factors, I think if you go back to the type of footy that we played when Ross first came back, to the type of footy that we're playing at the moment, the list profile, the the number of guys who are in our best players each week who wouldn't have been, or the types of players who wouldn't have been in those bests each week going back 3 or 4 years, it's chalk and cheese really. And the impact and the output that we're getting from guys like Flanders and Hall and Philippo now and Banfield, who I think has been really, really good and shows a lot of promise. Windhager, the development, Darcy Wilson, the development. I think we're in a much better place, not even looking at someone like Hugo Garcia, who's taken a massive step forward into being, one of our 4 or 5 best players across the season. So, I think we're in a much better place than we were 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that there is still a lot of development and a lot of growth left in this list and this team in general. I think we're in a really good place moving forward, to be honest.
And I agree with that. I think, and a lot of that's just what the eye tells you. A lot of people have obviously, everyone listening to this and us, you've watched us enough to know sort of, what do you feel? Obviously, it doesn't mean anything if it doesn't translate into results or if it doesn't end up getting where you want it to go, because there's a lot of false dawns, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that. A little bit different today that we're going to look at a few sort of burning questions or general state of the game scenarios. One question I wanted to put to you was around selection. Now, most of the time that we have questioned selection, it ends up kind of being vindicated in the sense that, we question Carroll's place in the side, then he'll get 27 and, have a career game. But there's obviously a few things where, and look, on the most part, they've got that sort of stuff right. But I can understand, say, tonight with Keeler coming in and Taru, because without Howard, it gives you flexibility with all three of those players, Kamenidi, Taru and Keeler, to play forward back, roaming around, intercept, that type of stuff. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, Liam Stock has been managed twice. On our bye round, he got dropped back to the twos and then got concussed, so missed a game. I'm not sure. I know he uses his body as a battering ram, Liam Stocker, but I thought he was probably in our best against Freo. I don't know if a player at his age or standing needs to be managed twice in 6 weeks. And then obviously you look at guys like Hasty and these sorts of players that have been a little bit stiff, and even how Taru was out of the side in the first place. Now, every side in the comp, even Fremantle and Sydney, would have these conversations because selection is subjective. But how have you sort of seen it overall?
It's a really weird one. And I think I've honestly gotten to the point where I don't know what they're going to do week in, week out. Like you said, the management of Liam Stocker seems bizarre at just about every level, unless there's things that we don't know. Like, is his body not right? Does he have niggles? Where's his head out? Is there, there's a range of things that could be affecting Liam Stocker's selection. But at first glance, I've said this all year long, that I think Liam Stocker should be one of the first 3 or 4 on the team sheet every week because of the unique role that he can play in this team. And if it's not Liam Stocker, then it's got to be Angus Hasty as someone who can play a similar role. They're not the same player, but they can play a similar role. And so I'm very confused by that at a pure selection kind of lineup perspective. Like I said, week in, week out, I have no idea what Ross and the selection team are going to do, unless there's obviously injuries and guys have to come out or potentially guys coming back. But it's selection as a whole has been very confusing, borderline bizarre, essentially, for the last 12 months for a number of reasons. Like you said, I understand the ins this week with Keeler and that sort of stuff. I think we all have question marks about Isaac Keeler and whether he's got it at the level. I think he's a very good twos player. I think he's shown glimpses at the senior level. Can he put it together for a whole game, for a season? Still early in his career, I know, but I think he's going to start having to prove himself with some solid performances to keep a spot on what's becoming a very competitive list. But like you said, with the injuries and the outs, those guys, Taru, Keeler, etc., have to be in there with Kamenidi because you're short on talls at both ends of the ground. So made sense this week, but the question mark around the non-selection, the regular non-selection of Liam Stocker is a head scratcher for mine
given a couple of the games he missed. He missed the Collingwood game, and they have an abundance of small forwards. He misses a Hawthorn game with the likes of Watson, Ginnivan can go forward, more these sorts of players that are, you know, matchups for him conceivably, particularly in the post Jimmy Webster days. It is interesting, and I guess it's that balance between picking your best 22 and the development. Like, you know, is it better to pick Trevallier over Carroll? Is it better to pick Boxall over O'Connell or something like that? Or, you know, Taru over Howard all the time, Keeler over Howard all the time. It's tricky. but, yeah, I think trying to get that balance between what's your best side now and who's got more upside are always those challenges that sort of need to be need to sort of be worked through.
Teams don't release their kind of playing lists and their lineups in position anyway these days. So it doesn't really matter. But you look at the lineup and you wonder who's going to take those guys that you mentioned, Watson, Ginnivan, and those smalls that are devastating for Hawthorn moving forward. And like, are they going to have Windhager play a role? He's probably going to play a role in the middle anyway. Does Jack Carroll play a one-on-one type of man-marking role? Does Liam O'Connell play back and kind of play small, I guess? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. Is Banfield going to be one of those guys? I really like the look of Banfield. His big body, he cracks in. It looks like he's got good skills, can take a contested mark, reads the play pretty well. But how are they going to line up on Hawthorn, who are, you know, they've got a pretty good list. They've got a pretty good lineup. They're very skillful. They know how to win the ball. They know how to deliver the ball. They know how to move it forward. They know how to hit the scoreboard. I think we have some similar attributes in a lot of ways, but I'm not quite sure from a defensive standpoint how we match up on them this week, at least.
My fear tonight, I mean, I think we'll be competitive. It's just that it was probably a similar fear last week, but it didn't matter with Fremantle, is that we had a game a couple of years ago against the Bulldogs where we came off, I think, back-to-back six-day breaks and an interstate trip, and we were absolutely flat as attack, and we were 7 goals down at quarter time. I think we're probably a bit more mature than that now, but that's always a fear in the back of my mind that one of those might be coming somewhere, but not necessarily tonight. I mean, you know, a six-day break. I mean, you get one extra day coming back from Perth. They were coming back from Tassie, which is obviously very different. But yeah, I think we'll see the same thing. If we're not flat, we'll be ultra competitive, and it's just whether we take our chances and whether we can go deep enough with them. They haven't been in super form, but obviously Will Day is extremely important to them. Gunston's extremely important to them. But I mean, their last month they got belted by Melbourne, run over by Fremantle like us, drew with Collingwood, and then beat Adelaide by 9 points at a ground where they never lose. So it hasn't been devastating form, but obviously we know they're capable of some pretty good things. The list strategy, just a couple more before we wrap things up. Obviously, Darcy Wilson on the radar of a few clubs, Geelong being one of those, unfortunately. Hugo Garcia, obviously his stocks are rising. Max Hall's stocks are rising. Then there's the Nash conversation that we'll have again in 12 months' time. How do you see they claim they've still got plenty of cash, but obviously how they distribute that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, this is where you've got to prove it, right? We've spent big on a couple of guys external to the club in TDK, Silvani, Flanders, etc. I'm assuming we're not paying that much for Liam Ryan, despite him being good. He probably seems a bit of a bargain buy at the moment. But obviously, we've paid Naz for a couple of years. What they do in this next phase is really going to prove what they feel about our current list and the current strategy. Because on face value, you have to keep Darcy Wilson. I mean, he's a difference maker. He's an impact player. He's taken a step forward. He's gone a level up. You've got to do whatever you can to keep Darcy Wilson at the footy club because he has the potential to be an X factor for us moving forward. And then the likes of Max Hall and Hugo Garcia, who I think come out of contract both next year, the end of next season. Two of our 4 or 5 best players all year and are a big part of what we want to do moving forward. So you have to put aside budget to lock those guys in because there will be clubs coming for them too. So, you know, I think what we're going to see over the next few months is going to show us where where the administration, where the footy department thinks we're at as a footy club, as a list profile, because it's the priority I think now has to be in locking up some of those young guys. And if they then go to market again and try and land another big fish, whether it's a Ben King, which I don't really think is on the table, but you never know, or a Matt Rowell or any of those kind of big ticket guys that are coming out of contract, Zach Butters, et cetera, then you wonder how they can keep the in-house development guys, your Wilsons, your Garcias, your Halls, et cetera, because you can't do it all. You can't do it all. So they're going to show us over the next few months, I guess, what the plan is moving forward. But I'd be shattered to lose any of those three. I can't see us letting Max Hall go. I can't see us letting Hugo Garcia go. Darcy Wilson's the big one in the next few months, I think, because there is a lot of interest. He is an X-factor player, and he's out of contract very soon. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time to lock him in before he's going to start getting offers. He probably is getting offers through his management already. So it's a really big watch, the Darcy Wilson one for mine. Well, I mean, where do you think we're at holistically in terms of the list profile itself?
Yeah, I think we've answered a few questions in regards to the structure. I think our best midfield, I think Max Hall has to stay in the middle permanently. You know, his clearance work's been phenomenal. Garcia's development as a mid, and then obviously Nass playing out of the square. I mean, if you look at Wanganeen, Miller, Hall, Garcia, with a little bit of, say, Windhager, Filippo, Wilson, and then the pinch-hitting veterans like McRae and these sorts of guys, I think that's the best setup starting with that group. And from there, you obviously prioritise it out. I mean, Wilson demonstrated late last year against the Giants and then through this year as well. He can break the lines. He's not just a hard runner. He's got pace. Similar to Garcia, he's got pace. He's built for the way footy's played now in terms of being, you know, Garcia's more inside than Wilson is, but to have that mix of sort of inside and out. So, yeah, they're absolutely priorities. So I think that's right. I mean, I know we look at Taru and Trevallier. Trevallier's the unknown one. But that's why I'd be certainly getting games into these guys. I mean, I imagine they'll come for Taru in 12 months or so as well. Mm-hmm. So they're the decisions, and you just have to hope that, you know, it's not a case of putting all your eggs in one basket. I'm sure they haven't done that, but yeah, the priorities are certainly different. And as we said, you're going to move past people like, with all due respect, Butler, Howard, McRae, Burns even, not that they're on huge coin. But yeah, that's definitely the strategy moving forward, I think, is to prioritise those guys. In terms of any other big ticket items on the agenda, have you got any other talking points that you sort of want to get off your chest?
Well, I guess just on this profile, what did you make of the mid-season draft the other night and taking another small forward? I mean, obviously we know that Dan Butler potentially doesn't have that much longer left in him. Liam Ryan as well is kind of 30 and onwards. Mm-hmm. Jack Higgins getting to that age as well. But it didn't seem to be the position of need for us when there's, you know, potentially key backs, key forwards available, more midfielders, etc. We've got a bit of a hit and miss record in the mid-season draft. Obviously, Hall and Sharman are two big, big hits. But there's been a few others over the journey. Jack Mayo, I think, was one who... You play one game for us, maybe, and a couple of others that haven't panned out as such.
So. Yeah.
Max Heath, I think, was a mid-season draftee. He's playing some good footy now, just not for us. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see what you thought of that selection of Campbell Lake as another small forward. I know they've said that he can pitch it through the middle and is combative and uses his body and competitive and all those sorts of things. But what was your take on that selection?
Yeah, unless they feel it, he'll develop like Max Hall into other roles. But yeah, I mean, if you look at that small forward sweep, we're certainly blessed there. But I mean, Collard, they're starting to play him off halfback in the twos. Wilson can play small forward, but he's better off as a wingman. Hall could play small forward, but he's better off in the middle. Butler and Ryan are getting to that age. Henry can play higher as well. So I think most of those small forwards these days are probably hybrids, with the exception of Higgins and Butler. They're almost exclusive small forwards. Ryan probably as well. but you know, the rest of them have other strings to their bow, and maybe that's what appealed to them with Lake, that he might be able to do something else in that space. Because, you know, a lot of the other guys are medium, robust types like Boxall and Banfield and these sorts of players. So I don't mind it. He's been highly regarded, Lake, and seems to be a, you know, a good kid. So, but yeah, in terms of priorities, I would think, yeah, midfield polish or key position defence would be the way to go. But, you know, if we end up finding another Max Hall with that sort of versatility, then that's going to be a good option for us. The other thing is who we trade with going forward if we were to lose players, because obviously Geelong don't have the best bargaining tools for us. If they went after Marshall again or Wilson, given they're likely to finish top six and get, you know, pick 13 or something like that. So all of that obviously has to be balanced and measured in terms of all of that. But yeah, in terms of tonight, obviously I think we're certainly a chance, provided the travel load hasn't hit us particularly hard. Next week we welcome back, it looks like, Nass, Owens, Ryan probably as well. Just a question of whether they come back through the twos. The only one before we finish up would be the Max King situation, probably about a month now, 3 to 4 weeks. Are you still thinking there needs to be a load in the twos, or do you think the load is happening now, which would allow him to play ones straight away?
Yeah, I flip-flop on this almost daily, I reckon. I have found myself very strongly in the camp that he's missed so much footy that he needs 2, 3, 4 weeks in the twos. And then there are other days where I feel like, you know what, it's Max King, you're better off. If you're going to play him, you know, 40% game time, play him 40% game time on Marvel as opposed to some, you know, shrubbery in VFL football or state footy. I think that's where I'm at. I think given what we've seen out of the club in terms of the releases, announcements, dribs and drabs that we get on King's health and fitness over the last couple of years, and you know, I think you and I on this show have called it misinformation at times, or disinformation, deliberately or not. I think they're being very conservative now. I think we all heard that it was a 1 to 2 week injury. They've kind of kept, they're saying they're keeping him for 4 to 6, which means I think that they are getting him ready to play in the ones when he's back. And that includes a 3 to 4 week training block that should hopefully get his body ready to play proper footy. It's a real interesting one because I think in other sports, when players come back from long-term injuries, you know, we talk in our game about preseason, how important preseason is, and then you get guys that miss preseason, what it looks like for them coming back into senior footy and all that type of stuff. In other sports, you hear about guys essentially doing a preseason. You know, whether it's round six, whether it's December 1, doesn't matter. They come back and they do essentially an entire preseason to get their body ready for the rigors of professional sport. And we don't seem to do that. We do these kind of mini training blocks and load management and a whole range of things. And I just wonder if some of the biggest and best sporting codes in the world have this mantra that if you miss preseason, spring training, whatever you want to call it, you come back and you do exactly the same thing you would have in that period. If it's 6 weeks of ramping up into spring training, then you do your 6 weeks of ramp up into a preseason and get the job done essentially so that you're back as if you're coming back for round one in tip-top shape. And I just wonder why there isn't this methodology in our game, which is one of the most physical, dynamic, athletic in the world, if not the most physical, you know, physically demanding football code at least in the world, that we don't have this physiology mantra that you do what you got to do to get your body right and not try and find the shortcuts and the quick fixes and all those sorts of things. But I don't know. I think the club is getting ready to bring him back into the ones, to answer your question. Based on what I said earlier, but we knew it was a 1 to 2 week injury. They're holding him out for 4 to 6. That second half of that time missed is all about ramping up and getting ready to play senior footy.
which should be about now, I think. But as you say, the misinformation, Jack Higgins with his carpet burn that required surgery, apparently. But, yeah, look, it's a little bit frustrating the amount of times you get the sneaky 6 o'clock Tuesday night, oh, this guy's out for a month. It's like, oh, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. I think some of the criticism is unfair, some of it probably warranted. But a short, sharp edition this week as we – look forward to Hawthorne on a Thursday night. Hopefully we get the whole band back together, looking to Sydney for next weekend. But enjoy the night, hopefully, and go safe.